Appreciate the prayer. I ask continued interest in your prayers as we study Psalm 64 tonight. quite often, as we've gone through these Psalms, we find that David recorded many instances of being in great distress. And, you know, sometimes you read and you think, well, this is kind of like some of these other Psalms. And I've gotten to the place where I'm looking for something unique as we go through. Even though a lot of the circumstances may have been similar, yet there's something unique about each one of these Psalms. Tonight, if you look at my title, Trust the Lord When Enemies Work Secretly. So once again, we find David in distress with regard to enemies and those working against him. He had a lot of that in his life, didn't he? Perhaps we've been through some situations in our own lives like that. And we can relate to that if we think back to those occasions in our lives. But here's a time when these were not an open enemy. They were secretive. Yet he was aware of it. Well, can the Lord help us in those times? Sure he can. Sure he can. All right, so this psalm teaches us to trust that the Lord will deliver us even when wicked ones work secretly with their slander and lies to destroy our character and undermine confidence. Think about the time when David was running from Saul. And there were many times that Saul and his armies tried to discredit David and excuse why they were going after him. Then you remember there was a time when David's own son, Absalom, wanted to dethrone David. And so David had to flee, as we talked about last week, had to flee from Jerusalem for a while. So David knew something about this kind of a situation. And while we don't have a specific occasion to label this psalm, yet it's the kind of thing that we would need in many situations in life, isn't it? All right, so to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So once again, another psalm which David wanted to be sung regularly. And again, David cries for help and rests in God's care. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. You ever had to pray that prayer? Sometimes we do, for various reasons, varying degrees. But David says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. His voice in his prayer. Not just the prayer, but the voice in it. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Many times in the study of the Psalms, we find there's fear. We're going to fear at times in life, aren't we? It's just the natural response to many circumstances that we face that we are going to fear. But the sooner we turn to the Lord, the sooner we remember that He's the source of our help, no matter what the problem might be, the sooner we do that, the better off we're going to be, aren't we? I guess if we've not learned anything else from the Psalms, we've learned that, haven't we? Okay. First and foremost, David turns to the Lord for help. Perhaps this is the greatest lesson from this whole psalm. As soon as we sense trouble, we should flee to the Lord for help. Now, isn't that the right course to follow? Do we always do that? Why not?
Because we think sometimes we can work it out.
Yeah.
It won't work out that way.
That's it. We want to handle it, don't we? Especially us men folks. We want to fix it. The sooner we can turn to the Lord, beg for His help, the better off we are. Period. All right? The longer we wait, the more we unnecessarily suffer. Sometimes it seems like some folks enjoy that. You know? David was one who tightly and regularly would cling to the Lord and recognized his constant need of the Lord's help. Are you there? Do you realize every day you need the Lord? When you wake up in the morning, as you begin to clear the cobwebs, does your mind drift to the fact that, Lord, thank you for another night's rest and help me this day? The sooner we can get to that point in our day, the better off we're going to be. The sooner we cling to the Lord. You know, we've jokingly said many times, you know, somebody one time said, you know, Lord, I've been real good today. I hadn't said anything bad about anybody. I hadn't done anything wrong. I hadn't left off anything. But now it's time for me to get out of bed and start my day, and I'm going to need you. That's how we ought to start our day. Lord, help me. We don't know what's going to happen the next second. God does. All right? So, the closer we walk with the Lord, the more readily we seek His guidance. And we need that too, don't we? We're not nearly as smart as we think we are. I regularly have to plead my ignorance to God. But I do ask for His wisdom. I do ask for His guidance. And the sooner we can do that, the better off we are. Like walking with a friend, it becomes more natural to share our heart with him, although he already knows our every thought. You know, we're told to confess our sins. I think some folks decide they don't want to do that because they don't want God to know about it. He already knows. You're not going to acquaint him with anything. Okay? By the same token, we share what's on our heart. That's just good therapy, isn't it? Just to talk to the Lord. You're not going to acquaint him with anything, but it certainly is good to share the burdens of our heart with the Lord. And it's good to share the joys of our heart with the Lord. It's just good to spend time with the Lord. And rest assured, as we grow closer to the Lord, we learn that there's a deeper reverence to be had. Now, let me pause right here. I didn't put this in the notes, but it's a thought that I had and it's still there. I don't want to be too critical of some folks, perhaps they're walking closer to the Lord than I am. But sometimes folks seem to be too buddy-buddy. Now, I don't know if I can express this the way I feel it, but we want to be close to the Lord. We want to share our heart's desire and our burdens with the Lord. But it still needs to be in reverence. Like, you know, there's a Abba Father. That's reverent, isn't it? But some folks prefer to call that Daddy. That could be translated as Daddy. Well, listen, it's a term of endearment, but let's keep the reverence there. All right. There's a deeper, even the closer we get to the Lord. And you think about men like David. And as we've gone through the Psalms, how reverently he approaches God. And yet he's a man after God's own heart. Think about Daniel. And I've thought about Daniel a lot in the last few years. And my respect for Daniel has just grown immensely. As I think about the affliction, you know, and the circumstances that Daniel was faced with, and how similar it could be to ours in a moment's notice. And yet what a godly example we're given in Daniel. And he reverenced God. See, the closer we get to the Lord, the more humbling it is. You know, when Isaiah had that wonderful vision of the Lord, he was brought down, wasn't he? Okay. All right. So the more closer we get to the Lord, we learn that there's a deeper reverence to be had. We learn that God is holy, 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 and we're not. See, even as we get closer to the Lord, even the little things become more noticeable to us. We become more sensitive to just how holy he is and how far away we are. Okay. We learn that he's the God who doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What doest thou?" Remember that quote from Daniel? Remember who said that? Old Nebuchadnezzar, when he was brought down. Okay. God can do that. He works his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of men. We don't. We can't do that. But God can every time. And so that relationship grows deeper, but not more casual. There's a deeper reverence as we're drawn closer to the Lord. And while it is the greatest source of help that we could ever hope to have, the terms of deliverance remain according to his will and not ours. We worship God on his terms because he's God. He's the sovereign. And we humbly approach unto him. Therefore, David pleads for help. You know, we can never bring God into debt to us, can we? No, he's done so much for us. We're the debtors to grace. All right, so there, David pleads his help. The enemies are cruel, the danger is real, and the need is at hand. Remember now, what did he say? "Oh God, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." Okay, so the need is real. Oh, the need is at hand. David says, "Hear my voice in my prayer." You know, sometimes the voice says more than the word spoken. A parent who hears its child in distress. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? You hear your child in distress, or remember a time when they were small and you heard them cry out in distress. That says a whole lot more than the words they spoke. Because you know that cry, don't you? All right? So a parent who hears his child in distress reacts more to the sound of the voice than to the words. And thankfully, our Lord is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And with great feeling and urgency, David pleads for the Lord to preserve his life from fear of the enemy. He knew they were formidable. He will describe them in great detail later, but that fear had already gripped him. Now, us studying the Psalms and seeing David being in fear is nothing new. But what kind of a problem is he experiencing here? Is it one with which we can relate? Is it one that this psalm will teach us a lesson to help us in our life? I dare say we need to know this. We need to lay it to heart. You might need it sometime. David's confidence in the Lord is great, but this battle is not out in the open. It is against evil planned in secret. It is against those who plan insurrection, that is, those near him who secretly wanted to rise up against him and replace him. Thus, he does not know who the enemy is. Now, that's a different kind of a problem, isn't it? When you don't even know just who the enemy is. That's what we have here in this psalm. He may suspect some, but he may not know for sure who it is. Therefore, he pleads to the only one who clearly can see all things, all the things that are schemed against him in secret. Oh, aren't you glad we can call upon the Lord who knows all things? He knows what we need. He knows the problem better than we do. All right. So David says in verse 2, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." That's what David needs help from. And he's asking for the Lord to hide him. Since God sees and knows, David pleads for the Lord to deliver him. Again, the danger is unseen to David, and their methods are unknown. A lot of unknowns here, isn't there? But not to the Lord. Isn't that comforting? Just to think that God knows all of our needs, and he understands it better than we do. Oh, what a blessing that we are blessed to know our God and what he knows. But David knows they are forged from the workers of iniquity who are not looking to do God's will. Now that is where David draws the strength and comfort from. Because he knows if they're working against God's will and he's trying to follow the Lord, who's going to be on his side? If God be for us, who can be against us? All right? And so like David, when we're trying to do God's will, and we know those who oppose us are not, then we can, with great confidence and great earnest, make our plea unto God. But in the next four verses, David details just how these enemies go about their secretive deeds, say, verse 3. Let me go back and read verse 2 again. "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words." So this enemy is not shooting arrows. They don't have a sharp sword. They've got bitter words. But those bitter words hurt, don't they? This problem's real. This problem had David in great distress. David describes what he faces: bitter words. Not just words, but words that are sharp. Words can be very sharp, can't they? That reach far to others, and which are crafted to sway the opinion of others against him and undermine their confidence in the one who has been anointed of God to rule over the nation of Israel. All right, so you got these bitter words. You got folks working against David, but God has anointed David to be the king of Israel. Since God anointed him as king, they ought to be supporting the king, shouldn't they? Praying for the king, asking the Lord to bless. All right? But they whet their tongues to make those words as sharp as they can. And no doubt David would rather have gone out against an army. David was a man of war. I don't find him backing down in Scripture from any battle. Yeah, we know there was time he didn't go out to battle, but as far as being in battle, he didn't back down. I mean, with great confidence, he went out against Goliath with just 5 smooth stones and a sling. But he had confidence in the Lord. So his confidence in the Lord is still there. He's still begging for the Lord to deliver him as he cries unto him. Verse 4. Even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They have no hesitation in their efforts. There's no opportunity for David to defend himself, seeing he's not present at their attacks upon his character and motives. It's not an open battle here. These things are going on away from him. Sadly, while living right and doing God's will keep us in favor with God, evil men and Satan himself will do all they can to fight against all who are good and godly, and they'll do it without any fear. They don't fear God. They're just out to accomplish what they want to do. Now, we have the comfort that as we're trying to do the Lord's will, we can go to him like David is doing right now in this psalm. David is going to the Lord and begging. He's crying unto God for deliverance against this that's going on. See, they're not fighting him against him with a sword, but there's words. There's bitterness. David is begging for the Lord to deliver him from this struggle that he's in at the moment. But those that are going about doing these things have no fear of God, and they have no hesitation of continuing to do those kinds of things. Verse 5, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. He's continuing to describe just how these evil ones are doing these things. They commune of laying snares privily and say, who shall see them? That which would cause the godly to fear the chastening of the Lord, they revel in it and congratulate themselves in what they've done. All the while they think that no one sees their evil deeds and make them accountable for them. You know, it's a blessing to us that we have the Spirit of God in us to either approve what we're doing or condemn us when we go astray. And when we feel condemned, then we understand that there can be some chastening. If we continue in that way, the Lord will chasten us for our wrongdoing. But those that are out doing their evil deeds and have no fear of God, they don't have that. They continue on doing those things they're doing. Verse 6, they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. That is, it's deep in what they're doing. All right? They're diligent and they're tireless. That is, they're deeply set to continue in their evil. You ever met some of those folks? Probably have. Probably meet some more before life's over. And all their faculties are employed in their work. I left out a T there, by the way. employed in their work. Thus, they learn to be clever and very painful with their arrows. Those arrows can hurt, can't they? Those words that people sometimes say. But while fear had gripped David, and while he knew their words would be like the fiery darts of the wicked, the Spirit led him to understand what would become of them. All right, so he's been describing their evil deeds now for the last four verses. Now he's pronouncing judgment. Verse 7, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Now we wish evil on no one, but we rejoice to know that God is the avenger. He's the judge. God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Just as the wicked have wounded God's people, his words tell us that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And while it is solely up to him as far as when it'll happen, his judgment will be swift when it comes, and it will have flawless aim to accomplish all it is sent to do. God will take care of the situation. Our job is to trust him. Our job is to continue to look to him and try to do the best we can under whatever circumstances we're in and leave it to the Lord. His aim is good, isn't it? They'll be suddenly wounded when he chooses to shoot his arrows. So remember this, and remember God's power to help calm your fears. Again, that lesson we talked about early in the psalm. The sooner our heart can flee to the Lord, the sooner we'll find peace and comfort in our distress. Verse 8, so shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. See, they've been fighting with words, criticism, subversion, all those kind of things. They've been using their tongues, okay? So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. Sounds like sowing and reaping, right? Okay, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay, here David understood that his enemies' works would cause their own ruin. You believe that? Good. Because that's a true statement. Okay, and that's what David is expressing here. And as an encouragement, others will see and understand that their works, that is those evildoers, their works were not good. How often do we want to cry out, how long, O Lord? How long before you'll judge? But he will. Verse 9. and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doings. Those who are able to see that God was at work will then be encouraged to praise the Lord and once again fear his name. Such was the case with Elijah on Mount Carmel when God answered by fire. Remember that? 1 Kings 18. You know, Elijah had asked them a question. Okay? The people answered him not a word. And so Elijah, right by himself, stood up against all those prophets of Baal and all those prophets of the grove. What was it? 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the groves. One man against all them and all the people. They answered him not a word. But eventually, when God answered by fire from heaven, you find them saying, "The Lord, he is the God." The Lord, he is the God. Remember that? Oh, I tell you, what a blessing. Now, once God had done his work, and once they saw that it was of the Lord, they were ready to serve him again, weren't they? Don't you wish we could have some of those kind of things going on today? Turn the hearts of the people back to the Lord? I know we don't deserve it, but we sure wish that it was the case. Though Elijah stood by himself, yet the Lord showed who was right, and they were convinced to confess him anew. All right. Verse 10, "The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." Oh, what a glorious time. And God's people have been awakened to righteousness once again. Faith will be renewed, trust will be restored, and the saints who had greatly feared will rejoice in the Lord when he's heard their cry and answered those that put their trust in him and were delivered from evil and works plotted against them. David enjoyed that deliverance of the Lord, and he wrote about it to describe it to us, obviously under the leadership of the Spirit, but he wrote of that experience so that it would be a blessing to us. If we ever find ourselves in such a situation as that, and maybe you have in days past, David did many times. Bless your hearts, if we ever find ourselves in that experience, what's the first thing we should do? That's right. Turn to the Lord as soon as possible and cry like David did to hear the voice of my prayer. You know, when it's urgent, you can tell, can't you? Because it's in the voice of your prayer. Not necessarily the words, but the voice of it. God answered David. God protected David. God delivered David. If we'll follow this course of action, the Lord can deliver us too. May we reverently, no matter how closely we're walking with him, may we reverently call upon him and trust in his deliverance. May God bless you is our prayer.